is Controlled Chaos with your hosts, Liz and Allie.
I'm Liz, the writer.
And I'm Allie, the publicist.
We are your quintessential 40-something besties who dive headfirst into all things pop culture.
Think motherhood, relationships, hot stories taking over your newsfeed, and of course, the latest gripping true crime mysteries.
This is Controlled Chaos, your much-needed weekly pop culture juice.
Drink up! Everybody, welcome back to another episode of
Controlled Chaos.
So on one of our most recent episodes, we brought up Ruby Frankie for like a hot second, and then we both agreed that we couldn't do an episode on it because it was just too traumatic. But Liz and I have had multiple discussions and lots of text messaging about this, and we realized that fuck it, we're just going to talk about more abuse because we know how important it is. We know how fucked up it is. And we just feel like this is such a riveting, insane, gross case that has completely captivated the world that we have to go there. And we're going to make ourselves very uncomfortable right now talking about it.
Full disclosure, guys, I haven't been able to bring myself to even watch the whole 2020 yet. I like started it, and that's when Allie and I were texting. I was like, I can't do this. I can't. I have like a really hard time with this. I have a really hard time with like how it makes me feel inside. I have a really hard time with seeing anyone hurt, let alone children, and like the nature of it. It honestly makes me feel sick. It makes me feel sick, for lack of a better word, sick to my stomach. So I was telling Allie that like I could barely get through Blackfish, which was about a whale, which by the way is super sad. But this 2020 episode, as soon as they showed like the first kid showing up at that guy's house, like in the phone call, he actually cried. He cried. This guy, the guy who found this kid, was on the phone sobbing to the police. And as soon as I heard that, I was like, I can't do this.
It's bad. Cool. And honestly, I haven't been able to watch Blackfish because of that very reason. And I won't watch it because I'm like, why do this to myself?
And you know what? If you're not okay with this either, we understand, because this is like, this is like the darkest of the dark, truly.
This is probably one of the worst child abuse cases I've ever read or watched. And there's just so much evidence. And just to give like a very, very, very brief background, because we don't want to go too much into detail about what the case, what happened in the past. But basically, Ruby Frankie was this former vlogger. She had a very big YouTube channel called 8 Passengers, I believe. She's from the Mormon Church, which right there, there's a lot to unpack. That channel is now defunct, but she had a very public spotlight because of her YouTube channel. So there's a lot of just like incriminating and evidence that not only things that she said and did that were questionable, but also, and it helps to tell now the whole story to have all this previous content that's out there of her whole family, her husband, herself, her horrific friend Jody, who's like apparently the mastermind puppeteer behind all of this. So if this is what we're talking about, Ruby Frankie, both Ruby and Jody were just sentenced to 30 years in jail, which, by the way, is not nearly enough. I mean, the fact
they're tortured. I hope they're tortured. Like, I really.
We both hope they're
tortured. It's not even funny. I just hope that they're actually hurt. Like, that's, I wish bad things on them.
4 counts of aggravated child abuse, and each one serves like 15 years. But because there's some fucking stupid ass law in Utah, where 60% of that population, by the way, is Mormon. And again, we'll get more into that later. They can only serve up to a total of 30 years, which means they're both going to be out before they die, unless they die in prison, which we kind of hope they're tortured and die.
Fingers crossed.
Never wanted to inflict any pain on anyone like this.
No.
So they're going to be out, you know, in 30 years and probably do tell-all books and make lots of money, which makes me also sick to my stomach. Jody, by the way, has even been quoted to say she can't wait to tell her story when she gets out, because it's not true. So Ruby's the blogger, and she then joined forces with Jody, who's this like psychologist in Utah who had a lot of ties with BYU and both Mormon. And Jody was also dubbed as like the porn like therapist, because apparently
in the addiction? Mormon, I don't even know much about how she got with Jody. So you're going to lead the way.
Yeah. The porn addiction therapist, because apparently in like the Mormon church, any type of porn is like super, super off limits. So even if you're just like a man or a woman that have watched porn like one time, you're considered like addicted, and you have to be like completely like exercised of it, which is partially the reason that Ruby's husband, who there's a lot of questions there as well, disappeared for a year, because he was chastised so much about his alleged porn addiction that he couldn't even see his children for a year. So let's just, it's really bad. So basically what came out in all these episodes, 2020s and all these different crime documentaries. There's a lot of good ones out there on this. Is her one of her sons escaped Jody's home. Jody was this woman that this therapist.
They were in Jody's home? I saw the police go in there and Jody answered the door. But I thought she was staying at Ruby's home. That's Jody's home.
No. So Ruby like abandoned her home and the kids were like basically, so she had six kids total. Two of them are older. One of them was in college and the other one, I guess, in college as well. Then she's got two middle kids probably in their teens. And those were literally left parentless at the house for months. And I guess like one of their other friends within this space was taking care of them on and off. And she took her two youngest ones, 11 and 9 years old, to Jody's compound, which was like in the middle of nowhere. Yes. And that's where these kids were discovered. Now, the youngest one who was nine escaped and he found a neighbor. And that's what this video that you were just talking about, where the neighbor was crying because he couldn't believe the what this kid looked like. I mean, emaciated with wounds. I don't want to even go there because it's
I mean, like,
you don't need to talk about the abuse. The abuse is disgusting.
So bad, you guys. Like, this is my, I'm sure there's people in both camps here. I mean, like, I want to know, it's like, I want to know more, but I'm sitting here like this, listening to, like, my whole body tenses up. This case just does something dark to you.
And now I find myself driving around, you know, where I live, you know, seeing house after house after house, thousands of houses surround us, right? And you just have to imagine within hundreds and thousands of these houses, there's got to be some kid in there getting abused.
Oh, I know. So it gives you like these weird thoughts of, like, should I just bang on every door and like barge in there to see if like there's a kid there in a closet I can help? I mean, it's just so disturbing to think there could be things like this going on we don't know about. If this kid hadn't escaped, I mean, who knows how long this could have gone on or like what would have happened.
Well, and I'm glad you just brought that up because when she had this YouTube channel for about 5 years, I think there were a lot of instances on the channel where she would do sort of like tough punishment, like, you know, withholding, you know, food from her kid or like making one of the other kids like sleep on a beanie bag for 8 months.
Yeah.
Right. Like really just harsh punishment, which I, from what I've read and understand, like in the Mormon church and in like that whole culture, strict punishment is kind of like the norm. And I think with this abuse of power comes child abuse. Oh. And so it's really alarming. So the point is that when this channel was very visible for all these years, many people, petitions were signed, like call child services many, many times and nothing happened. And then in some instances, I do think child services, CPS did show up at the house and no one answered and they'd go home.
Oh my God.
So like this could have been prevented, honestly. These two kids that were so abused.
Do you know what this really like, it's like reminds me of? I mean, it's different. It's like the Gabby Petito, like how when that cop intervenes, like it's like you get so close. Like there were chances in this Ruby Frankie case for this. I mean, it still would have been awful, but who knows what could have been prohibited, like what could have been stopped. How much more could the kids could have been better? That's so sad. It's like just knowing that like they didn't dig a little deeper.
You're talking about the police cam footage where they pull over Gabby and the boyfriend.
Well, yeah, that was the other thing. Like like right. I was just comparing like it's a little apples and oranges, but it's that same way where like a professional level or law enforcement or some sort of services looks into it, but not hard enough.
Properly trained, potentially.
Not properly trained. That's really what it is. Not properly trained because in the Gabby Petito case, they were like kind of on his side. Like, oh, you're acting crazy. We'll put him in the hotel.
In that case, they were literally on his side.
Yeah.
I mean, he literally like chastised Gabby.
Yes.
And
they should be dealing, like those cops don't have the experience to deal with like abuse. Like I'm just like, that's what we put too many tasks on them. And like, they aren't experienced at that. And like, but child services, that's your only job, is to like kind of pick up on those things and pick up on those cues. They should have watched those videos. They should have gone in and looked further. That to me is a little more inexcusable. What happened with the cops? I mean, I still think like, how on earth did you see this? I mean, it was so obvious. Like, I don't want to go on that case, but like how shaken she was as you side with what's his name. But like in this case, I just feel like, yeah, it does. Child services should have gone in further than this. It's, I don't know.
So in the situation of Ruby, she's got these sisters that I guess have cited in the past some like maybe have also called CPS. Her own daughter called CPS a little while back before this happened. I don't understand the husbands. So this was the crazy part too. I've watched the husband. So in the 2020 episode, and then in general, the husband has done a few interviews now. He talks a lot about like how Jody entered their lives, and there's some weird stuff going on there. Even some paranormal stuff he which you, it's really strange. He even says he went over to her house and heard, like, saw, like, literally saw in front of his eyes plates flying. I mean, there's a lot of instances of Satanism.
Yeah, I've heard her talk about that, like the devil worship, and the kids, yeah, and like trying, yeah, yeah.
So this is religious extremism, right? Like,
yeah, that's, which is scary.
It's scary because when you look at both Ruby and Jody, who are the ones that are now in jail for 30 years, both of them talk about, especially in the beginning, how the children were possessed, especially Ruby, her own kids, that they shouldn't have even gone to the hospital. I mean, some of the stuff she was saying was ludicrous, and that she was doing the devil's work and that there's been shadows following her. I mean, the stuff they're saying, I mean, they're delusional. They're absolutely crazy. But you have to start thinking, like, why did she do this? Why did she get caught up in this? Because that's always where you and I go, right? It's we know about what happened. We want to understand the why, like, how someone
really believes. Like, I mean, look, I think religious extremism is a huge problem overall. Like, I mean, I don't like extremism in anything, but religious extremism is extra scary because they actually convince themselves what they're doing is the right thing. They're doing the right thing, and like the justification and the weird like webs that they can spin in their head for what they're doing is fucking disgusting. And it's just like, but they think like, oh no, like I have to do this. I mean, God told me to do this, or that I'm getting the devil out of it. I mean, it's just, it's alarming what this religious extremist will tell you, what they tell themselves.
And then you add on top of that, growing up in like a strict Mormon household. So from what I've read about Ruby, she grew up having a lot of like pressure on herself, having to take care of her kids. And then immediately, like when she turned 18 or 19, got married, you know, in the Mormon world, like you can't really like kiss passionately or forget sexual intercourse or any of those things before you get married. And you're supposed to get married very young. And then you start procreating. And I read somewhere that, so she has six kids, which is already like a tremendous amount of children, right? I also read that she had like multiple miscarriages. I read.
Well, these people don't believe in birth control, right?
Well, actually, I read that they do believe in birth control, which is why it's even more interesting. So she clearly, if she was having miscarriages, those might have been wanted kids, unless she just didn't believe in birth control herself. But I bring that up because I also think there's a lot of psychological damage here that happened to her, both growing up in the Mormon faith and probably dealing with the pressures of society, not being able to like be your own person. Then on top of that, being pushed right into like finding a Mormon husband, getting married, having child after child after child. And these were her two youngest kids. So they were like her two last kids, right? I feel like there might have also been like a psychological thing there, was like she already had raised four kids to some point. And these two are almost like, now, you know, time to fuck with them. Like, well, it's like, I'm not a parent anymore.
You and I have talked a lot about that, about how abuse, like, it's almost like being a copy of a copy, and that copy gets shittier over time, if that makes sense. It's like, you know, like the original copy is clear, then you make a blurry copy of that. Like, that's kind of how psychological and abuse works. Like how it was in your family, how you were raised. You take some of that and you might heighten it because of what happened to you in an extreme way. And that's, I absolutely, abuse breeds some kind of further abuse. So I agree that she had something in her background that, but she just went even further with it. I mean, I don't know what happened with her, but I can't imagine it'd be worse than this.
I really think religion plays such a role here, even though I'm not going to say it's like the culprit or the reason. She obviously is a sick person because she has sisters who seem to have very healthy relationships, love their children, and they were raised in the same household.
They were religious too. Yeah. I'm not putting all the blame on that, but I'm putting a lot.
It's hard to not know or talk about it playing a role. But it's definitely not like the reason. I also wonder, like, if it's true that she had like 22 miscarriages, which is a lot. And even if you had a few, I mean, that's got to play a role psychologically too. I've never had a miscarriage, but I know even having one, you know,
that's a little signs of a crazy person too. I mean, that's, none of this is healthy.
Not that many.
I mean, yeah, it is. I mean, those are very emotional to go through, and it's like, I mean, she really had almost two dozen. It seems a little right. Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm still a little unclear of what's going on with the husband now. Like, was he just knew nothing of this? Like, I find that really hard to believe. I mean, I guess because it's porn addiction, whatever, but like.
Well, what was most disturbing about it was in his interview with the police, when he's first finding out about like the state of which his children were found, his response was, of course, shocked. And then he asked what the word emaciated meant. He didn't know what that word meant, which I found odd. He's an engineer professor.
I'm sorry.
So that was weird. And then after a few minutes of them explaining how the kids were found and him showing obviously like, wow, this is insane. His response was, I love my wife. I trust my wife. That was his response. And then of course he talked about the kids and he loves his kids, but it's like, you haven't seen your kids.
I don't I don't feel.
I love my wife and I trust my wife, yet your two kids were just found with duct tape.
I don't believe it. I'm sorry. His older kids probably told him what was going on. There's no way he knew nothing about this. And you know what? And let's say that's true. Then that's kind of a bad dad too. Aren't you checking in on your kids? Like it's bad either way. You're either a completely negligent, uninvolved father or you're ignoring what's going on. Both are bad.
Both are bad. You know, I think it's just like a mishmash of just like Ruby craving attention. I would say she probably was decent at parenting, very organized, like once she started, but once it got deeper in, she probably had some sort of personality disorder. Who knows what it was driven from? I don't know. She was obviously an intelligent person. I mean, she created this YouTube channel. She made money off of it, by the way, a lot of money. But it seems like everything.
I don't know if intelligence, the word, sounds more like she could be savvy. I don't know anything about her intellect, but you can be an idiot and run a YouTube channel.
That's true. You can be an idiot.
I don't know about her intellect, but I know that I hate her. I hate her.
You know what was really crazy is she and Jody were literally dishing out relationship and parenting advice.
I know. That's how this whole thing started. Like mom blogger busted, you know, like.
But like to be doing such a horrific thing behind the scenes and yet there's people taking advice from you is like the most hypocritical, like my brain can't even comprehend. Like how did nobody see through this? How was any advice they were providing really good advice?
See, that
what were they doing?
That even shows maybe two things to me. One, like we said, they actually really do think what they're doing is like the right thing. Two, it's an overcompensating. Like we're going to put out that we're such good parents. It's like a justification, another coping mechanism, if you will. Like put out that I'm these good parents. Like what your brain is able to convince yourself of, tack it on to like these big, 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 deep-rooted religious beliefs. And I just don't think they thought they were really in the wrong in a lot of ways, you know?
It's also amazing to me that people like Jody can slip under the cracks. I think she received some sort of probation for her license because someone reported that she had like shared some client privilege information with one of the local colleges. And so then she was like, her license was suspended or something. But right, I know you didn't watch the full 2020 episode, but there's a woman that comes out in it who's her niece. And it's Jody's niece. And she recounts a time when she was in her teens and her parents, because she also grew up like a bit, I think, religious, her parents sent her to Jody's house for the summer or for a year or something.
Oh my God.
And so she recounts, she was never, the abuse was not to the extent of what happened with these children, but she recounts like Jody shaving her head and like depriving her of certain things, making her wear certain clothes. Oh. And so but here's the crazy part. She's been talking about this like amongst like her friends and family for years. And they're all just like, get over it. It was your past, like time to move on.
It's time to swallow that.
Isn't that crazy how people respond? And finally she has this platform to be like, I'm not fucking crazy. The woman's in jail now. Like she did horrible things to me, like as a teen. And no, I wasn't, just because you weren't abused, shaving your head, depriving you of food, that's abuse.
Yes. Very much.
It's so gross.
Was she a child psychologist or like you said in college?
This was the weird thing. So she was brought in to like help mediate both relationships. And the reason she was noted as like porn specialist was because a lot of, like I was saying in the Mormon faith, a lot of, if you had like any relationship with porn, one time you looked at it, that was like a big deal. So a lot of these like women would bring their men in and then she would host like these like sessions with the men and weekly sessions, and the men would be separated from the women and she would get this control over the woman, which is what happened with Ruby. Lord. But when the kids were brought in, she's tended to focus. It was weird. And the husband brings this up that like the focus was more on the parents than the kids, like teaching them if they can't make themselves right, then they can't help their children. So she would isolate. There was a lot of isolation, which also is a way to manipulate, because when you isolate someone, you know, they start.
Isolation is a form of emotional abuse.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah. It's actually a big one because it's a way to take control over you. If you isolate you from like your family, friends.
So this seems to be what was happening with Ruby's husband for that whole year where he was estranged. He was isolated and he talks about it. And it's hard to like give him any sympathy, right? Because you're like, you're disgusting. This was your kids. Like, how did you let this happen under your nose? It's similar to like hearing the Gypsy Rose case, because her father for all those years, you know, even though they're super close now.
I don't know how much
I feel. I know. How do you let them launch?
I just don't know if I can, like, oh, you, I'm so sorry. Like, no.
I mean, and how do you, like, I could never imagine now if I were to even do that with my husband and be like, you can't see your daughter, he would never let that happen.
I was about to say, I think that's where I'm like, you know, no, there's no way Ryan would just, my husband would just not see our daughters. I mean, I would be able to keep them away. And I just think if you're able to be pushed away like that and you're, do you really care?
Right. Do you really care? You know what's really weird though about this whole thing is she got this fame originally from this 8 Passengers YouTube channel. Do you know this channel had 2 million subscribers?
Yeah, I did hear that or see that.
2 million people subscribed to this woman who had so many people watching that they signed petitions to get Child Protective Services on her, yet they were all feeding her YouTube funnel to make her money. Like, what does that say about parenting?
Well, that channel been taken down since now that she's
it, has been taken down. Yes. And and they also just, there was another really weird, Ruby, I know you didn't watch this in the 2020 episode.
I'm going to try and get through it piece by piece.
Fast forward through the abuse parts, because I think when you don't watch the abuse parts, it's manageable. But the abuse parts are, honestly, they blur out the.
I know. It's just, yeah.
It's so bad.
I'm trying to get through it.
But they blur out on TV the what the kids look like, because obviously for privacy, but also because they say it's so horrific what the wounds that they had when they discovered them and the way they worked, how emaciated they looked. Ruby, apparently there was a bag of $85,000 of cash in Jody's home where Ruby was living with her there with the two kids that were being abused. She wiped out her savings, her husband's savings, and all the children's savings that they had made from their YouTube channel.
Jody did?
Ruby did, which makes you think, what was she planning to do? Because at some point your children were so ill and sick that they were going to die. You weren't doing anything to keep them alive. And by the way, that fucking kid is a hero.
Yeah, he is.
I hope he is just blessed for the rest of his life. He gets plenty of money. I hope that he grows up and can get
saved their lives. I mean,
he saved his life. He saved his sister's life, who was found in a room, basically she's like shackled and alone in a room, in a closet in this terrifying compound. I know it's makes you want to hug your kids.
I just want every child to move in with me and let me just cuddle with them. This just makes you want to hug and take care of every kid. When I heard about this, I think I just hugged my kids and like almost wanted to cry. I was just like,
I know.
How could anyone do that? How could anyone hurt a child? I just can't. It's a totally different kind of sick. It really is.
It's a totally different kind of sick. It's
your own children, any child, but your own children. I just can't imagine.
I know.
It's very upsetting. And I hope they get it. I hope they're tortured in prison. Oh, I wish I was in there to give you just in prison for a day to like fuck you up and then leave.
And only 30 years in prison. It just makes me sick. Like,
oh yeah, they're totally going to get out paroled. But Utah is probably right. Yeah. Utah is completely lenient on these religious extremists.
60% of that state is Mormon. So you can only imagine how much is going on. I mean, we all know like that churches, especially the Mormon church, are riddled with sexual abuse.
Riddled. Like, so it's like, there's long-standing roots in the Catholic churches that way. I mean, there's a lot of that. It's just like, terrible. I'm sorry. There's some fucked up things about religion. Okay.
There really is. I know.
If you're religious, what you believe, that's fine. But like, this is why I'm always like, you believe what you want, don't put it on me, because I don't know. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on with it. And it's okay to have your beliefs. Just, leave them to yourself.
Right. I think it's totally okay with living in this world and like wanting to find like a God, right? Like, why are we here?
Of course, have some hope. Believe it. Like, that's totally fine. But just, I think extremists of any kind are.
Any kind.
Yeah. It's not even just religion. It's just extremists of any kind. When you have no limits to what you'll do for something, that's not healthy. Those aren't boundaries.
I mean, if you think of, because, you know, religious extremism is hard to visualize because it's like a mental thing. But like, if you think of extremism with like eating. What does that look like? You're obese.
Absolutely.
You're obese and you're unhealthy and you're going to die at an early age.
Even like, I used to think like PETA. I mean, I love animals more than anything, but sometimes PETA can be like real crazy, like being an extremist. Yeah. Although after watching Blackfish, I was like, I'm joining PETA.
Oh my God. No, I can't. I can't watch that. And I will only buy fur if it's like anything that's like animal product, only if it's used. And I'm like,
I was like, get me, you know what? I don't even care. Get me on there. Like, I'm going to be at the picket line.
I know. It makes me want to. I was like, adopt every animal you come
I'm
across.
I'm gonna save every whale. I'm gonna save every, like, I was just like, after seeing that, I'm like, no, I'm gonna do something. But yes, I mean, to my point is, I think even as much as I love animal rights, I think there can be extremists in that regard too.
Yeah, just like there can be extremism on, I was saying, like, eating too much and becoming obese. The other
absolutely.
Side,
absolutely. Yes, it's a dangerous thing to be across the board.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is. It's a
well, Ruby, we hope you get it. And Jody, I hope you get it.
We hope you both get it. We hope that after the 30 years are served, that maybe they both are dead or killed.
I mean, honestly, I hope bad things happen to them. They are terrible, terrible people. They are terrible people. And I hope these kids, I mean, I know they're in foster care now, but what on earth is going to happen to them? I mean, like.
And what's crazy is that they're being taken better care of in foster care than they were.
Of course they are.
But that's like a sick thought. I mean,
it is, but they were being violently abused. I mean, they're at least they're getting fed, and I've heard they're gaining weight now, and like, you know, I'm better, but just.
And the arresting officers visit them often, and hopefully, you know what I was thinking though? And I guess like both the older kids are probably like just trying to figure out their own lives, but like, I don't know, for me, if I was in my early 20s and I found out my younger siblings were being that abused, I'd like want to, I don't know, I guess they're not allowed to be a part of the family right now. Even the husband can't go near them, but I'd want to adopt. I'd want to take custody of them. I just, as their older sibling,
if I were those kids, I know they're too young, but I wouldn't want to be adopted by anyone in that family. I wouldn't want a thing to do with any of my actual lineage. I wouldn't trust an aunt. I wouldn't trust a grandmother. I wouldn't trust anyone in that fucked up lineage. I mean, even if they're innocent, it's just like, how could they go from that? Their own mother. If you can't trust your own mother to take care of you, they're never going to trust anyone, and rightly so. I mean, foundation is going to be shook forever. There's no, I don't know how you even really recover from that.
How do you trust ever again in life?
That's supposed to be your safest place.
Yeah,
your
the safest place. Yeah.
And like that place was the most villain, malicious place. That'll rock your whole foundation for the rest of your life. There's no way. I don't know what they're going to do, what kind of therapy they're going to need, but I wish so many good things for them. I hope so something can come out of it for them, but I just, it's terrible what happened.
And really, it's like the point of doing this, I think, not just for us to talk about it because we're so disturbed by it and just kind of like air it out and get our emotions out, but also just be like, just be aware of your surroundings. Don't overlook things, because look how much CPS overlooked this poor family and these kids. And if you see something,
say something. I mean, yeah, these people who are leaving comments, doing petitions, I mean, that's still a start. They were really trying. Whoever started that petition, like, good for them. Like, that's because how many things do we watch mindlessly? We're like, oh, it's not my problem, right? Not my thing. I'm just going to.
Well, apparently the reason Ruby stopped the channel was because of all the pressure and she was getting from people saying she was like, you know, not a good mom and doing abusive things. And that led to therapy, led to Jody, led to this.
Jeez, oh, I didn't know. So that actually took a darker turn because of that.
It took a darker turn, but you got to find light in the situation, right? I mean, there's no light here, but I guess the child.
Well, light is they're out of it. They're out of it. Ruby and Jody are arrested. So that is light. It's over for these kids. They're at least out of that.
And what a lesson that when you're seeing all these perfect families, mom influencers online, you know, showing their families, there might be a darker side, guys. Just always be aware of that. Not everything is how it appears. Don't get depressed when you go on social and see someone posting the perfect photo. You know, that's what everybody does.
That's all bullshit. I read like a funny meme one time that was like, the longer the congratulatory, like if you have an anniversary post with your husband, the longer it is, like the more like they hate each other. Like the more awful it is. Like people that are like, happy anniversary, honey, I love you. Like those people are probably fine. The people who write these like paragraphs, and I looked back at my 1 year one and I was like, oh, I wrote a long one. I'm like, oh no, things were kind of shitty then. So it's like, you're trying to convince yourself. You're like, no, it's true.
It's like when you, it always reminds me of one of our friends who at the end of the year wrote this like long post about how she had a year of like reflection and change, but then she met her husband.
I know. And that was read at the wedding. So funny, but it's totally true. Like what you see is just not the case. And this is a very extreme version of that. But I hope that this case maybe makes people more aware, and maybe if there's anything else like going on like this, this case will help bring it to light. Like all I can hope is that this prevents more child abuse. Like,
agreed. And don't just swipe or, you know, just like something and go on. Like if something looks funny to you, there's nothing wrong with reporting it to Instagram. Like I just reported an account. There was a woman on there. She's like a Russian woman and her goal is to adopt 100 children. Children are not products.
Oh my.
Like I reported that shit. I was like, this is fucked up. She's writing a book. I'm like, this is all a product.
No, it doesn't. it's true. Don't be just completely like ambivalent. Yeah. Like try, this is proof of that.
Yeah. You might be that one person that changes someone's life. You never know. Yeah. So that's the point of this. All right, guys. Well, we hope that this provided some sort of enlightenment. If you haven't watched any of what's going on with this case and you can handle it and stomach it, it is quite an experience of learning and sad.
If you don't, we don't blame you, because I can't even get through this.
This serves as enough information of everything.
This is more cliff notes and then no, yeah.
And we apologize in advance. Yeah,
if you have trouble getting through it, don't feel bad. I had to like stop it, leave the room. It's okay.
And on that note, our next episode that we're going to record is going to be about our favorite horror movies. So
oh,
clearly
gosh, you guys. Yeah, but a feel-good one. Feel-good one following this dark one. You're going to need this, all right? You should listen to these back-to-back.
Have a good one, everyone. And this was another episode of Controlled Chaos.
Bye.